Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
For cultivating progress across the South, for working to unconditionally improve the lives of all, and for the bold underwriting of every Gravy podcast, SFA thanks our visionary Louisville, Kentucky friends, Pam and Brooke Smith.
Most people know the first great migration of the early 20th century, where Black Southerners moved to northern Midwestern cities like Detroit, Chicago, and New York in large numbers to escape racial persecution in the Jim Crow South and to pursue job opportunities and safety for their families.
The second Great Migration came later, in the 1940s. This time, instead of heading north, many Black Americans traveled west to Los Angeles, California. From 1940 to 1970, the Black population in Los Angeles increased nearly 12-fold.
Wow. Restrictive housing covenants, already in place when this new wave of citizens arrived, meant that most new Black residents settled in historic South Central Los Angeles, which encompasses a large swath of the city stretching from Compton to the Crenshaw District.
San Fernando Valley, just north of Los Angeles, was a bastion of whiteness well into the 20th century. Even as parts of the valley diversified in the 1980s and 90s, a few neighborhoods claimed a Black population of less than 2% well into the 1990s.
On today's episode of Gravy, producer Rebecca Katz tells the story of Les Sisters, three Black women, Clara Hewling, Rhoda Hottie, and Willie Stanford, who in 1980 created a soul food institution in one of the whitest parts of the San Fernando Valley, an institution that is still thriving today.
You are listening to Gravy.
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 A production of the Southern Foodways Alliance, Gravy tells the stories of the changing American South. I'm Melissa Hall.
And I'm Mary Beth Lassiter. Here's Rebecca with the story.
I'm sitting at a table at Les Sisters Southern Kitchen in the San Fernando Valley. It's not even noon and it's bustling. There are people coming through the door every few minutes. Families and couples and solo travelers. They sit at polished tables eating po' boys, hush puppies, and hot links. It smells like fried chicken and fresh coffee. The space is brightly lit with sleek blonde wooden tables and chairs to match. Photos of New Orleans line the walls. Patricia Fisher, a longtime waitress at Les Sisters, is telling me about the first time that she discovered the restaurant, back in the early 1990s. A friend told her that there was a great new soul food spot in the valley. She couldn't believe it, so she drove out there herself, but she couldn't find it.
I missed it. The first time I went down, I didn't find it. So I went back to her and I said, I didn't see anything. She said, go back. It's there. I promise you. She said, they have collard greens. They have barbecue. They have good fried chicken. She said, go back. So I went back.
And Pat kept coming back. Les Sisters opened nearly 40 years ago. And Pat has been a server there for more than a decade. She tells me that when she first tried the food at Les Sisters, she was in shock because she never expected to find good Southern food in that part of the valley.
This was local, you know, and I just never thought it would be anything local and good. So come to find out, they had been there since 86. And I was like, wow, you know, this is great, you know. And I fell in love with the gumbo. and I fell in love with the fried chicken. And yeah, it was a go from there. And I started just telling everybody I knew.
The San Fernando Valley is a sprawling area of suburbs situated just north of Los Angeles. Some might know it from its infamous appearances in movies like Clueless and Licorice Pizza, where it's depicted as a bubble of suburban homogeny. But there's much more to the valley than meets the eye. I grew up here in the San Fernando Valley, frequenting a deli not far from Les Sisters. My family is Jewish, and we went to eat blintzes and pastrami there on Sundays. Yet like Pat, I was surprised to find out that there was a Southern restaurant in the same neighborhood, one that had been there for decades. The Valley was designed to be a community of white, middle-class homeowners. For decades, the Valley had some of the most ironclad race restrictions in the nation. The most common way that parts of the Valley were kept all white was through racial steering, where white realtors wouldn't even show black families houses in certain neighborhoods. These restrictions were legal until the Fair Housing Act passed in California in 1963. In 1950, even as the city of Los Angeles was rapidly diversifying, with Latinos settling in the east side and African Americans coming to the south side, certain parts of the valley remained largely white. And one of these extremely white areas of the valley, a small community at the far western end of the valley, called Chatsworth. This is where Les Sisters is located. It's no wonder Pat was so surprised to hear about the restaurant.
They made a restaurant happen. In 1986, in cowboy town, Chatsworth.
This is Jessica Hewling.
I am the owner and third generation restaurateur.
Jessica is sitting with me at a corner table in the restaurant, telling me about the origin story of Les Sisters. The they that she is referring to are the three women who started the restaurant. They're not actual sisters. It was Jessica's grandmother, Clara Hewling, and her two friends, Rhoda Hattie and Willie Stanford. They were three black female restaurateurs who had strong roots to Southern cooking. Clara was from a small town in Oklahoma. She grew up making classic Southern food with her family. Her parents ran their own Southern restaurant, where they served fried chicken and peach cobbler. Rhoda was from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She grew up cooking and eating dishes like jambalaya and gumbo. And Willie was from Harlem in New York City, where many African-American Southerners had made a home in the early waves of the Great Migration. She was the business brains of the operation, as Jessica puts it. Before the three women went into business together, each one was already working in the local restaurant industry. Clara and her husband Bill had a soul food catering business. Rhoda ran the oyster bar at the popular Fireside Inn. And Willie had her own liquor bar in Reseda called Our Place. They'd all meet up at Our Place after work. And that's where the idea for Les Sisters began. This is Rhoda telling Jessica the story of how the idea for the restaurant first came about. This was recorded on Jessica's phone, so the audio is a little hard to hear.
Willie said, we really need a place in the valley that serves soul food. So three of us were sitting there one night, I guess halfway drunk, and we were talking. And he said, well, why don't the three of you guys go in as partners and open a restaurant? And so then we said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So then he said, well, what are y'all going to name it? First we said, Three Sisters. He said, well, why don't y'all put a twist to it and call it Les Sisters?
That's how it all began. Les Sisters. The three women had this shared vision to have a place in the valley where anyone could feel at home, eating the dishes that they all loved. At first, the women tried to open a space in Granada Hills, which is another overwhelmingly white area of the valley, located just north of Chatsworth. Clara, Rhoda, and Willie knew more people near Granada Hills that frequented their previous restaurants, so they were confident about that location. But once the Granada Hills landlord found out that the women were Black, he pulled the lease.
The only place that would allow them a lease was this nice landlord in Chatsworth.
Chatsworth also had very few Black folks. But Clara, Rhoda, and Willie figured this might be their only option, so they took it. Jessica says that at the beginning, things were slow. Clara, Rhoda, and Willie actually all kept their previous restaurant jobs during the first year, just in case Les Sisters didn't take off. And the first year proved to be difficult. It was hard for the women to pinpoint a customer base. But after a review from the premier California restaurant critic Elmer Dills, they started to see more foot traffic. They also slowly started to gain support from Black folks living in Los Angeles. Pat said that Black folks were always surprised by the location of the spot at first. But once they came in and tried the food, they loved it. And they started telling other people about it.
When Black people would learn that, oh, there is a Black-owned business here and it's soul food, you know, oh, well, that's surprising because they had been accustomed to going to Pacoima or Los Angeles, you know,
right.
And never would they thought, wouldn't have been a thought that the west end of the valley, Chatsworth, has a soul food place. Are you kidding me? Yeah, so they began to catch on. Yeah. As the years go by, they began to catch on more and more.
And though Chatsworth still didn't have many Black folks in the neighborhood when the women opened shop, it helped that the valley overall was beginning to change. This brought in more customers to Les Sisters. By the 1980s, Black families were moving to the valley in larger numbers. But restrictive housing covenants still kept most Black families in Pacoima, a neighborhood in the East Valley that became the valley's only Black enclave. Jessica went to high school out in Pacoima.
When I was growing up, I didn't really pay attention to race and culture per se. There wasn't a lot of African-American establishments in the area. I didn't have to go out much because I had a full restaurant.
Right.
You know, our family was the place to be for soul food in the valley. So I guess I'm spoiled in that aspect that I didn't have to look around.
Jessica grew up at Les Sisters. She watched Clara, Rhoda, and Willie running the show from the time that she was a little girl.
I remember running around, me and my little brother, running around the kitchen, getting in the way of these women trying to do business. And I don't know how to explain it. Just magic in the air. Three women making their dream come true.
To Jessica, watching three Black women in charge was the norm. Jessica watched the three women weather some serious storms. In 1994, the infamous Northridge earthquake greatly damaged the building. They had to shut down briefly and rebuild. And then in 1995, the restaurant was sidelined again after a fire. Even so, the women kept the spot bustling for years. Once Clara passed away in 1992, Rhoda and Willie ran the restaurant with the help of Clara's son, Kevin Hewling. That's Jessica's dad. In 2014, Kevin handed the reins to Jessica. Though Jessica grew up at Les Sisters, she never expected to take over the restaurant herself. Actually, she wanted to be a veterinarian. But when she realized that she was allergic to animal dander, she had to change course.
I was already working here in the industry in summer of 2000. I started off as a busboy, cleaning off tables with my dad and my grandpa. but slowly moved up the ranks. And now I own it all. The good, the bad, the win, the lose, whatever it is, we're it.
By the time Jessica became the owner of the restaurant in 2014, Chatsworth and some other areas of the valley that had been dominated by white families for decades, like Sherman Oaks, were growing more and more diverse. And though today Chatsworth is still mostly white, Jessica wants Les Sisters to be a hub where all types of people in the community can gather.
When we come back, we'll see Les Sisters in action today with Jessica running the show. We'll take a look at the San Fernando Valley in 2023, nearly 40 years after Les Sisters first opened. And we'll ask how the legacy of Les Sisters has influenced other Black business owners and restaurateurs in the Valley. But first...
For over 125 years, Lodge has been crafting quality cookware in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. It started with the iconic Lodge cast iron skillet made for cooking anything anywhere, and then turned to the seasoned cast iron Dutch oven and camp ovens. Now, Lodge is making history with USA Enamel, the only line of colorful enameled cast iron made in the United States. And like all Lodge cast iron cookware, USA Enamel is designed to last for generations. Visit LodgeCastIron.com to purchase your own USA Enamel Dutch oven. For Lodge's longtime commitment to the Southern Foodways Alliance, and this podcast, we thank them.
Jessica and I are standing in the kitchen in the back of the restaurant. It's almost 1 p.m. We're squarely in the afternoon rush now. I'm watching the cooks make fried chicken sandwiches and coleslaw as order after order files in. As I walk around the front of the restaurant today, it's clear that now Les Sisters draws in all different types of people, which is how Clara, Rhoda, and Willie originally envisioned the space. There are old-timers and locals.
You guys regular patrons?
Yes.
Do you guys live in the Valley?
Yes.
In Chatsworth?
Yes, in Chatsworth.
What are you eating?
Fried chicken, collard greens, and mac and cheese.
And you?
And fried shrimp and rice and mac and cheese.
Is this what you usually order?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the fried shrimp, huh? Yeah. Sometimes I just come and order 20 fried shrimp. Just, I pay $1.99 each because I love them so much.
They're first timers.
My name is Flower, last name Baylon, and it's our first time here.
Well, nice, and you?
My name's Annabelle Murillo.
It's also our first time here.
Okay, cool. What are you guys gonna order?
I have no idea. Everything sounds really good, and it smells good in here.
Have you had soul food?
No, first timers.
Okay,
so we're
cool.
Excited.
Jessica even sponsors a boxer in the Valley named Nicole Chisholm, who frequents Les Sisters for the chicken sandwiches after her practices.
I came in for the chicken sandwich, tried everything, almost everything. It's amazing. There's nothing here bad. Fell in love, and I asked Jessica for a sponsorship, and she said yes.
Jessica says that one of her main goals with Les Sisters in 2023 is to make it somewhere welcoming to anyone and everyone.
I've got a strong following with all race and genders and creeds, Black, white, gay, straight, young, old. They all come. We're here to feed the people. We're here to make a space that's safe for everyone. And just to have a good time, no matter what your background is, no matter what you look like, it don't matter to me.
Now Les Sisters has earned a reputation as one of the best soul food joints in all of Los Angeles. With the traffic and press accolades to match, it draws diners from all around the country. Pat says that the real merits come from Southerners, who try the restaurant and approve of the food.
You got a lot of people that would come from out of town here and they want to put us to the test. And they would tell us that, hey, you're giving New Orleans a run for their money. I mean, that's special.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you get people that say, hey, I came here for that jambalaya, you know. I came, you know, who made that fried chicken? Best fried chicken I ever had. That's what you want.
In 2020, Shania Akyus, an activist and longtime Black resident of the San Fernando Valley, created a group called Black in the Valley. The group's mission is to create community and to support and empower Black-owned businesses in the Valley. The Valley overall is still only 4% Black, but Shania says that the presence of the Black community feels stronger than it did when she first came to the Valley in the late 1990s, and definitely stronger than when Clara, Rhoda, and Willie first arrived in the Valley.
It's interesting, when I started Black in the Valley, I was not expecting to get so many responses because the Valley is so big and we're so spread out. I honestly did not think there were people that were Black that lived here outside of my circle. So the fact that we have grown to 5,000 people is like jaw-dropping to me. It feels like there are so much more of us because of the fact that there are, we do have things like Black in the Valley now, and a lot of more Black businesses are popping up in the Valley. We have a lot of restaurants that are coming here.
Shania says that Black business owners still have a hard time keeping their businesses flourishing and thriving in the Valley due to a host of intertwined factors. She tells me that a lot of Black-owned restaurants specifically have popped up in the Valley in the past few years, only to close down quickly afterwards. But Shania says that seeing a Black-owned institution like Les Sisters in the Valley is a real inspiration for other Black entrepreneurs to keep trying.
I think other businesses see that their longevity, that it is possible to have a long-standing business of color here in the Valley. And I think they look at that and they say, well, if they can do it, let me try it. And that's why we have different restaurants popping up now.
Hood Baby is another soul food joint in Chatsworth, not far from Les Sisters. And Jerk Wings Cafe is one of the first Black-owned Caribbean spots in the Valley.
I just have so much pride. I have pride because I have a legacy to uphold. I feel like this place brings so much love and energy and joy to people that we can't stop. We can't stop this.
Rebecca Katz reported and produced this episode. She is a journalist and audio producer based in Los Angeles, California. She has a master's in journalism from USC Annenberg, and her work has been featured in the Los Angeles Times, the Huffington Post, the Jewish Journal, PRX, and Wondery.
We thank Wendell Patrick for Gravy's theme music, Jazar for our donor music. We also owe a huge thanks to Clay Jones and Broadcast Studios for recording and mixing Gravy. Basically, Gravy sounds good because Clay knows what he's doing. Managing editor for Gravy and all other SFA media is Sarah Camp Milam. Olivia Terenzio is our podcast editor. My co-host, Mary Beth Lassiter, is our publisher.
Want to learn more about the changing American South? Visit us at southernfoodways.org. Read oral histories, watch films, or listen to this podcast. While you're there, become a member or make a donation. Your dollars fund our work and help us make more gravy. I'm Mary Beth Lassiter.
I'm Melissa Hall. Excited to lap up another episode of Gravy? Tell a friend.
Pass the gravy boat. There's plenty to go around.
Gravy is proud to be a part of APT Podcast Studios.